Welcome to the CEO of My Special Needs Family podcast, hosted by me, Amy Mann, a podcast aimed at helping amazing, hardworking and dedicated parents of children with special needs become empowered to be their child's biggest and most successful advocate. As a mum of a child with special needs, a parent mentor and a successful advocate myself, this stuff is my passion and my life. Hey, I'm your host, Amy Mann, and this week in episode 15 of the CEO of My Special Needs Family podcast, I'm going to be talking about mental health and dads of kiddos with special needs and disabilities. Before I head straight into the show, I just want to take a moment to tell you about my online learning course, Get Your Voice Heard, just in case you haven't heard about it yet. In the course, you'll learn how to become empowered to be your child's biggest and most successful advocate and achieve successful outcomes without getting frustrated, angry, and upset, which is just all too easy to do. You can enrol now on the Get Your Voice Heard online learning course for just £15. And for that, you get lifetime access, worksheets and tool sheets to print and use time and again. And you can use the discussion forum with other parents and caregivers, and I pop in there each week, taking the course and once completed, admission into my inner circle. And that's the Velvets. So for ongoing future support, where we do a monthly Facebook Live and we have more in-depth conversations and support, you can be a part of that going forward. So check it out by going to my website, which is amymanmentoring.com/online courses. Anyway, on with the show. So for those of you that know me, I talk a lot about the importance of building our emotional resilience, keeping our mental health well, and really caring for ourselves as parents of children with special educational needs and disabilities. I blog about it, I podcast about it, and I deliver workshops about it. But what I do know, though, is that the majority of my audience is mums and female caregivers. I nearly always have the odd dad attend, but not in their droves, and rarely as individuals. The men attending are often there to support their partner. This is quite a big generalisation, but I think the majority of women feel more able to seek help, to admit they're struggling, and to share their stories with others. My experience tells me that the percentage of men who feel comfortable doing this is much, much smaller. In fact, Warwickshire County Council here in the UK commented via Twitter that 57%, that's 57% of men with mental health problems are parents. I haven't found any research yet to tell me what percentage of those dads have a child with disabilities, but I'm guessing it's probably quite high. The positive thing is that in many cases, when the mums or female caregivers are coming along to my workshops or listening to the podcast or reading my blog, they'll share insights with their male partners. And some of the self-care ideas transfer just by osmosis, which is great. And we can also help to put things in place for our partners if they're not really forthcoming about doing it for themselves. I know that for a long time, neither Ollie or I were doing any physical activity whatsoever. And although it didn't really bother me at the time, I've never been particularly active, my husband missed it and really needed that outlet. Life and the caring needs of our children, but particularly Freddie, were really just getting in the way. So I decided that he absolutely must get back into it. So in the beginning, I just did something really simple and I went through the diary each week and I blocked out specific time that was his time. His time to go running or cycling or whatever he chose. It was there in black and white, which made it more of a commitment. And almost 2 years on, I followed in his running steps. I've been running for just over a year and can feel the benefits hugely on my mental health as well as my physical. So I'm not for 1 second suggesting that you should be making your partner go out running, but whatever the thing is that they enjoy, time should be dedicated for it, as it should with you. There are loads of options out there, and one of them is getting out into the fresh air and the wilderness. Often people, but especially men, don't really want to talk to a stranger via sources like counselling, and although it can be hugely, hugely beneficial, it won't be if it makes you uncomfortable. Getting away from tech, social media, work and family pressures and out into the wilderness can harness so many good feelings. It can get you away from those day-to-day pressures to give you time to think and work through feelings. Let's face it, nothing's going to change the definitive that your child has special needs or disabilities, but getting respite will help with the load that you carry. If you're a dad of a child with special needs and disabilities listening to this podcast, then I really urge you to hook up with other dads in your situation and get out into the countryside. Go to the pub, do whatever it is that you need to do, but really just to get away from the pressures for a bit. Reading things from a bloke's perspective is always way more engaging as well, from a man's point of view. So much of the content out there is led by women and mums like me, And I really think there is something to be said from hearing it from someone who speaks your language. And a great book that's been recommended to me is It's a State of Mind by James Boardman. I'm going to put the link in the notes here for you so that you can have a look at it. But it's really great. And it's by a bloke, for a bloke. It's short, it's snappy, it's easy to read, but it's got loads of really great ideas in there. And I guess seeking help and being vulnerable isn't often seen as being the act of an alpha male, and it just puts dads off. Your people in general are put off sharing their feelings due to, as Brené Brown, one of my favourites, would put it, being afraid of uncertainty, risk and emotional exposure. That's being afraid of uncertainty, risk and emotional exposure. However, those things are what courage and bravery are made up of, in actual fact. It's not about being weak, it's about being brave in being able to share how you're feeling and seek help. And I'm definitely not suggesting that for all men, not seeking help will lead to the worst case scenario of suicide, but there is a big, big connection between vast numbers of men not seeking help and this being the outcome. Far more mothers and women are diagnosed with depression worldwide, but I'm sure that is in part not because men and dads don't suffer with depression. It's more likely because they just don't seek help or talk about it, so it isn't diagnosed, this leading to more serious consequences. The Samaritans, an organisation in the UK, reported that middle-aged men are one of the most high-risk groups for suicide, and they remain three times more likely to take their own lives than women. It is frightening. You can check out more information from them on samaritans.org. And there was also an article on the bbc.com website that I was reading, and it was a piece written by Helen Schumacher that says, "It often starts in childhood. We tell boys that boys don't cry," says Coleman O'Driscoll, and she's the former executive of operations and development at Lifeline, which is an Australian charity providing 24-hour crisis support and suicide prevention services. She said, "We condition boys from a very young age to not express emotion, because to express emotion is to be weak." And obviously, we know that not to be true, but you can see how that happens. And Mara Grunau, executive director at the Suicide for Prevention, is in Canada, and she points out that how we talk to our children and how we encourage them to communicate about themselves too really differs. In fact, mothers talk way more to their girl children than their boy children, and they share their unidentified feelings. She said, "We almost expect women to be emotional." And you know, I was thinking about the difference between my girl child and my other boy child, so not Freddie, but my two neurotypicals. And although Bella is that bit older than him, I think perhaps I do talk to her on more an emotional level, just because she shows her emotions more, perhaps. But I'm definitely going to start making a change with that, because I always make it really clear to my little boy that crying is totally fine, there's nothing wrong in that. But actually, I think we need to encourage that even more, encourage them talking about how they feel. You know, you'll find a whole plethora of mummy bloggers like me who talk openly about their struggles and share, often oversharing, I agree, with others. But I do this partly to give other people permission to let down their guard and to stand in their own truth, no matter how painful it is. However, when you search for dad bloggers, it's far more rare. But I wanted to share a blog by a dad who belongs to the Swan UK community. And Swan UK is the only organisation to support families of children who are undiagnosed, so with no explanation for their child's disability. So I'm just going to go ahead and read a couple of excerpts from it. He writes, "Alexandra is part of the 100,000 Genome Project, but we might have to wait some time for her results. Our main hope in taking part is that this project will identify a genetic cause for her condition, and tell us the likelihood of the condition reoccurring if we have another child. We would really like to have a second child, but knowing this first would allow us to explore all our options. And we feel that having a second child with Alexandra's difficulties wouldn't be fair on either of them. But at the same time, we know she would love a sibling. Hopefully there is a genetic cause and it's just a rare one-off mutation. However, if it is an unlucky combination of both our genes, then the odds of it happening again are 1 in 4, and we would want to look into screening for this. We would love to be able to find other families with the same genetic condition. The dream scenario is finding out her condition is a known thing, so someone can tell us what we can expect for her future. However, we've come to accept that this is an unlikely possibility. This is probably the hardest thing for me to face as a parent, not knowing what things will be like for us as she grows up. It also makes it very hard to plan for the future. If we knew what she would be like at 10, 20 and 30 years old, we would know what we should be putting in place now to prepare for that. And he goes on to say, there's a lot of pressure on men to man up and tough it out, which has led to me trying to keep things inside and not talk about how difficult I sometimes find things. I have a tendency to pretend I'm fine and don't want to burden others by talking about my problems, even my wife. The problem with this is that I end up bottling things up and storing up my resentment and anger, which then comes out in unexpected ways. I also find that I deny to myself that I'm struggling, which means I've been resistant to asking for help from others. And Alexandra's dad goes on to say, all of these things have also caused me to downplay Alexandra's condition at times, to other people, but also to myself. I can remember when we were shown around the special needs school where she attends nursery and saw all the older kids, some with severe disabilities. And I was thinking to myself, well, obviously she's not as bad as other kids here, but at least she's got all the help she could need. In hindsight, I think I was subconsciously resistant to engaging with the school, as I didn't want to admit we were like the other families there. It's taken me quite some time to come to terms with the fact that she is like those other children and might need just as much help for her whole life. Like most men, I was initially quite resistant to the idea. I don't need that. I'm not that bad. A lot of my pride comes from the idea that I'm an independent and self-sufficient man. Part of me feels that this is what it means to be a father, to be a man. However, I've come to realise the harm this can cause to both Cass, that's his wife, and Alexandra, his daughter, but also to myself. It prevents me from emotionally connecting with them and causes me to bottle things up instead. But the therapy has been really helpful for me. I have a better understanding of myself and why I react in certain ways sometimes. It doesn't mean I don't get angry or upset, but I can manage it better and I'm less likely to take it out on others or slip back into denial. In hindsight, I wish I'd started years ago. You know, I think it's really refreshing to see a dad be so publicly open, and I'm sure it will help other dads out there. So please share it with the men in your life, or if you're a dad listening, share it with your mates, and I'll leave the link in the show notes for you. A couple of other people that you should really definitely check out is a guy called James. He blogs over at storiesaboutautism.com, and he also has a podcast by the same name. So check that out. Go onto your podcast provider and subscribe to that, definitely. He has two boys with autism and he talks about their journey and their experiences. And there's also another blog by another great dad called thegrumpydad.co.uk. So head on over to his website and check that out too. My reason really for talking about this today on this week's show is that there is so much help out there and support and assistance. It just takes some courage to stand up and say that you really need the help. And I think often for the men in our lives, it's a tricky thing to do, but it's a really important thing to do. And we can do things to help support each other. And by sharing some of the stories by other dads looking after, loving and caring for children with additional needs and disabilities, it's comforting to know that you're not alone. So do share those things out. Check out the show notes. I'll put all of the links in there for the book and the blogs and the podcast that you can go and have a look at. And just share that information, either with your partners or, as I said, if your dad's listening, with your mates. Put it out on Facebook, send it in an email. Just let them know that you're thinking about them and that you understand. Anyway, thanks so much for listening to this week's episode. Don't forget to check out my online course for getting your voice heard. And if you have any questions about this week's show or anything else to do with the podcast or anything else to do with Amy Mann Mentoring, please, please do drop me an email. It's always an open door. It's amymannmentoring@gmail.com, and I'd love to hear from you. So drop me a line. Take care. Bye. You have been listening to the CEO of My Special Needs Family podcast with your host, Amy Mann. I always love to hear from anyone in our community, so please send me an email to amymannmentoring@gmail.com or visit my website, amymannmentoring.com, or you can find me over on Facebook, Amy Mann Mentoring for Special Needs, on Twitter with the handle @AmyMannMentor, and sometimes you can find me on Instagram, velvet_bulldozer. You should also definitely, if you haven't already, join my Facebook group, which is the CEO of My Special Needs Family. And if you have any comments, questions, or would like to join me on a podcast, I'd love to hear from you.
It would be so great if you wouldn't mind sharing this podcast with as many parents as you think would be interested to really help build our community. And also, if you could have time to leave a quick review to help others see it in the podcast listings. Until next time, take care. Thank you.